Welcome to this episode of Out of the Best Books, the podcast where we deep dive into classic literature and have conversations about what we've learned and discovered along the way. We love all things books and reading, and we want to share our love of the classics with you. We hope to inspire you to read along with us and join in the conversation. I'm Amity.
And I'm Laura. Let's get started. We're so excited today because this would be the first episode of 2020.
Yeah.
Today we are announcing all of the books that we've picked for this year. Last year, we didn't know what we were doing. We kind of just picked them like as we went. So this is exciting. Yeah.
We just kind of winged it, which I think was fine. It worked out. But this just makes me really excited about the whole year because we have such a good lineup of books. And I don't know. I'm just really thrilled about all of them. So I think we'll just jump in and quickly give an overview and talk about what we're going to do. And we can kind of maybe give general dates of when they'll be. I don't know.
They pretty much end up, it worked out where it's like pretty much like by the month.
A book a month.
Yeah, pretty much. Except for June, which we will not have new episodes in June. And we're going to take a week for spring break.
Yeah.
It's pretty much by the month. And there's 11 books. So 11 months minus June.
Yeah. And that's even with us taking a few weeks off. So that's pretty good. Well, do you want me to just go every other? Like I'll talk about one and then talk about the next. Okay.
Well, wait, let me preface this with, I don't know much about these books. Some of them.
Hey, well, does that work out? Because I should probably talk about the Shakespeare one.
Yeah, because I want to see.
Well, I don't know. I guess we just both talk about all of them. It's fine.
I'll start with the first one, which is funny. The first book we're doing is in January. We're going to do The Moffats by Eleanor Estes. Mm-hmm. Say that. Now, funny story. I bought it and I started reading it and I started loving it and I lost it. I can't find it anywhere. So I will find it.
Cute. But okay.
So far, it's so cute and sweet. It reminds me a lot of the book we read in November, The All of a Kind Family. Kind of reminds me of the Penderwicks. It's really cute.
Sweet. The Darling family, they live in Cranberry, Connecticut, which is a made-up town, but it's based on New Haven, Connecticut, which is where Eleanor Estes, I believe, grew up. There's a whole series of books that follow the Moffat family, and it's early 20th century. The mother is a widow, and it's just all of her children. She works really hard all day trying to provide for her family, and her children are just, I mean, they can be little stinkers sometimes, but they're never malicious. They're just really creative and fun and sweet. And she gets you into their heads and their thoughts. And you're like, that is like exactly the kind of thoughts that I had when I was a kid. Like it was just, it's so cute and fun. So I love it. I think.
Yeah. So I'm either going to have to repurchase it or I have it waiting for me at the library. So maybe I'll just go pick up that one. But I'm like, I was just reading it. Presley was in the bathtub and I was sitting on the counter in the bathroom reading it and it's gone.
Anyways, it's got to be somewhere.
Maybe it was out here in my recording spot, but it's not. So, but I'm excited. So that's going to be January, The Moffats.
Yeah. Okay. So February is going to be To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. And I feel like most people probably have a good idea of what this one's about. It's been several years since I last read this, but it is about Atticus Finch, who is a lawyer, and he is called in to defend a Black man who has been accused of rape. And of course, this is the South in the 1960s. And so there is a lot of huge amount of racism, you know, like really, really bad. I mean, I feel like today everybody screams racism on every corner. I don't think that they have much comprehension of what things were happening 50 years ago and before that. Like it was pretty bad. It's a great story. There's many, many different aspects to it. And it all comes together. And it's just this really, really wonderful, very principled man and father, Atticus Finch. And you just can't help but admire and love him. So it's a great book.
I've never read this one. I'm so embarrassed about the books I haven't read. So I'm so excited.
Do not be embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm super excited to read it. And I know it's like one of my sister's favorite books. She wanted to name a child Atticus. So
there's a lot of people that have named their kids after characters in this book. Atticus, Jem, and Scout are the ones that you see most often, I think. In fact, my sister named her daughter Scout.
I love that.
Yeah, it's actually, isn't it so cute for a little girl? And she is like such a scout. Like she's so cute. Anyway.
I know, I just saw a post on Instagram or Facebook. This lady bought a cat or got a cat. And she was like, I need a library name. They're like, so many people name children and pets after characters in books or whatever.
Totally, because they're great. And they give them substance. They give the names meaning. So
yeah, Sydney just got a cat like a couple months ago. And she named him Goose after from Top Gun.
Oh, nice. So, I love it.
I know. We were like, silly Goose. And then Presley got a cat a couple months, like a month after. And she wanted to name her cat Duck. And I was like... No. I'm like, duck is really close to another word that we're not going to do.
That's true.
So in March, we're going to do Anne of Green Gables by L.M. Montgomery. And I'm so excited about this one. This is one of my favorite books of all time. I think I've read it probably, I know this doesn't sound like many times, but like probably three times.
The thing is, like with all the books that you read and all the time that you don't have, three is a lot of times, you know? It is. So that's awesome. Yes, I love Anne of Green Gables.
And if you don't know the story of Anne of Green Gables, I don't know if you've been living under a rock or what. But, and my goal someday is to read all of the Anne books, and I haven't. Have you?
No, I have not. No, I've only read Anne of Green Gables, which is kind of a sorry confession, isn't it? Yeah, I do. Like, I have watched the 1980s Megan Follows version of Anne of Green Gables about a million times. And I know that it covers several of the books. And I think it does it pretty faithfully. I think they do a really good job in those.
So. I mean, I think I've read like the first three. Like I know I've read Anne of Avonlea and I think I read the next one too. And then I paid Audrey to read it this summer. And so she read it and then we watched it. We watched the movie and oh, those movies. It's like, I haven't memorized.
And it's one of those that I feel so nostalgic as soon as the music starts. I learned to play the theme song on the piano years ago. It's just so beautiful. And it's when you just sit down, you just play and you start crying because you're like, it's not every game. It's so good.
I know, over and over and over again. So that one's just the story of the orphan Anne who is like, accidentally adopted the older couple, and they're not a couple, but a brother and sister that live in this house, Green Gables. They're trying to get a boy to help with the farm and they end up with this girl. And it's just so sweet because Marilla, I've also read a book about her by somebody else later, where she's just kind of harsh and mean and Anne just wins everyone over. And oh, it's just so sweet. And her love story with
What's his name? Yes, Gilbert. So good. So good.
Gilbert Blythe.
I think it's because it's such a slow build. It's like, it's one of those things that you see it coming, but at the same time, it's just done so well that it's still a slow build. And at the end, you're just like, yes. So good. Cheer for that. Yes. Anyways. Awesome.
Okay, I'm excited about the next one because you're going to tell me what we're doing. I don't know.
Yes. So we're going to read a Shakespeare play and talk about it. And this, it's difficult. There's lots of Shakespeare experts out there and I don't even come close to professing to be a Shakespeare expert, but I do love Shakespeare and I have for a really long time. And I have read a lot of the plays. I've actually read the raw play out loud to my kids. I've also read versions that have been written for children. So it's not the actual play. It's just like the story. I've been to many Shakespeare plays. I love it. So I had a really difficult time choosing which one to feature. My initial thought was Henry V, because I love Henry V. I think that was actually the play that made me start loving Shakespeare. So I was like, oh, it would make sense for me to do that. But then I was actually talking to my husband. He's like, that one is really good. But I mean, does it just scream Shakespeare? Does it tell us about Shakespeare? You know? And of course, like every play kind of does. But then I thought, you know, that's really true. And I feel like eventually we need to do Henry V because I love it so much. And we need to talk about historical accuracies and inaccuracies, because it is based on truth, but it is not the truth. So I think that would be really fun. All that to say, I decided we should do Much Ado About Nothing. I love it so much. And that probably is the second one that like really drew me into Shakespeare. Beatrice and Benedict, I mean, they're just iconic. I love it. It's fantastic play. And I think it'll be so fun. It is a comedy. You know, there's a point where you're like, how can this all work out? But it all works out. Everybody gets married. Everybody's happy. And there's so much wit and humor through the entire thing. It's just, it's brilliant. I love it. So
I think I watched a movie. There's a movie.
There's been a lot of movies made about it. Yes.
And I think I didn't get it. So this will be fun to read. And
okay.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I told Amity, just pick one. Because I don't know anything about Shakespeare. Just Romeo and Juliet. Just pick one. Now, I'm going to look at where we are in the year here. April 26th. So it will take us 1 week in April. And then all of May, we're going to do Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte. And another book that I've read a couple of times. So that's exciting. There's not very many books I've read a couple of times. But, oh, such a, I don't know. I guess you maybe either love it or hate it. Is that true? Some people don't like Jane Eyre because it's...
There might be some people who don't like. I'm sure there are, because there's always the outliers who like just decide to not like things that are extremely likable and amazing. But
yes. But so Jane Eyre is about, again, an orphan, right? That's sent off to like a school, a boarding school. And then you kind of follow her there. And then she kind of graduates and becomes a teacher at the school, and then she gets hired on to go teach at another location. I remember reading this, like, and just how she's treated, especially by her family, is just so atrocious and memorable.
And like I do sometimes wonder if, like, if J.K. Rowling kind of got some of her inspiration for Harry Potter's treatment from the way that Jane Eyre is treated by her family, which is not her immediate family, it's her cousins and aunt, just like Harry is living with his...
Yes, because her amazing uncle dies, right? And so then her aunt is like, I don't want you here. Her cousin treats her horrible. Anyways, so then she goes and works after she's at this boarding school. She goes and works for this man that has children, and there's some creepy stuff going on.
Pretty crazy. It is a dark gothic book for sure. So good. So excellent. It just, it draws you in and it keeps you, which I don't know if you can say that for every single classic. Like, some are a lot more difficult, but I feel like this one really, the pace of it is really good. There's always something happening. It's excellent.
I'm excited about that. And I think a lot of people are. My mom loves this book.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
So June will take off, but then in July, we're going to jump in with one of my favorites. It's so good. And it's the first Mark Twain that we will be doing. And it's Huckleberry Finn. I think I first read this in like sixth grade and I loved it. And then I've read it subsequently several more times. Another orphan. I don't know. We just kind of have this theme going on. But he really is just this young kid. He has all these many adventures and he's really struggling to figure out what is right and what is wrong. And he's looking at the culture that he's living in. He's looking at the social norms and going, but that doesn't make sense. And so it's very much a coming of age book and a social commentary by Mark Twain. That's just, it's very good. Very excellent. I think one of the difficult things about it is that he writes the accents. And so you're reading it and you're like, okay, sort of having to translate a little bit in your mind as you're reading. So, but he does a great job.
Yeah. Maybe I'll read and listen at the same time or something.
That would probably be a good idea
to help. Yeah. I've never read that one either. How many times have you read it?
I don't know. Probably four. So again, like it's not that many, but like seems like a lot when you do so many other books.
That's a lot. I know. When you think about how many books you read and like you've read, come back to some of these classics so many times, I think that's a lot of times. So I want you to help me out here because what were we at? July? Yes, August.
So in August.
We're going to always try to do a Jane Austen in August, even though it's supposed to be Jane Austen July. We're reading it in July, but it's going to come
out in August.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to do Persuasion by Jane Austen. Okay. Now, Tell us about it, because I know nothing about Persuasion.
Okay, so it's all about Anne, who, when the book opens, it's talking about how she's kind of like very plain. She's like very sweet, but she's sort of under the thumb of her family. And you're always like, just stop being polite, you know, like just tell them no. And she had been engaged to a man named Captain Wentworth. That engagement was broken off. And so since then, she's sort of like wilted, you know, but as things do in Jane Austen, like just a lot of things happen, and he like comes back into her life, and eventually they just realize that they're meant to be together and things work out, and there's a lot in between there, but that's your basic. And as it goes on, it's like she gets her bloom back, you know, she becomes beautiful and appealing again. But
the quote that has on Amazon says, "You pierce my soul. I am half agony, half hope. I have loved none but you."
You kind of find out that Captain Wentworth never quite got over her. So,
oh, sweet. That's exciting. And hopefully we'll have Nan with us again in August.
Have you talked to her about it?
No, but I will.
Okay.
This will be interesting because,
like, she said she wanted to.
Yes, I think she will totally be up for it. I think it's, you know, she's a school teacher. So if we're recording this in the summer, she's more open and has less to do. So, and she really enjoyed doing Pride and Prejudice. So I think she'll like this. So, and the funny thing is, the next one we're going to do is The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway. What's funny about this is we're also going to have a guest with us for this one. It's funny that they're
excited about that. That's very
they like met up together. So it's just kind of funny, one after the other. So my sister, Emily, has a friend that is a AP English teacher. And I think my sister was telling her that we had a podcast, and she said, oh, if she ever does Ernest Hemingway, and I can't remember what the other one was that she said that she would be interested in doing with us. So I said, well, let's do an Ernest Hemingway and we can have her on. So hopefully that will work out too. Maybe we'll have to record that in the summer, except I don't think she teaches anymore. So.
Oh, okay.
Time.
Okay. But, so maybe we just find out. And if we need to, we could always do it. Like, we could record it in June or something and then release it later.
But I'm excited to have her on. That should be interesting. The Old Man and the Sea. My son was saying he wants to read it. It's quite short.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember how many weeks we're doing it.
We assigned 3 weeks to it just because I think that we can probably discuss it for a long time.
Okay.
Because it is such a well-known classic. I will say I actually have read several Hemingway books, but this is one that I have not read. So this is the only one on this list that I have not read. So I'm really excited about that. So
last year we did several, or a couple you didn't haven't read, like A Tale of Two Cities you hadn't read. Or no, you had.
I had.
What have we not read?
Well, Frankenstein. I'd never read Frankenstein.
So that was the only one too. So
there might have been another one. I don't remember right now.
So that one is
September.
Yeah, because Persuasion's going to come a little bit into September, and then we'll do the end. So the last 3 weeks of September is The Old Man and the Sea. And then I'm up next, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for October, we have something super exciting. I love this book. It's nice and October-ish and creepy. And anyways, Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. Oh, my sister Amanda just read this book. I don't know if it was the first time she'd read it. Probably not, but maybe, because she was calling me and she was like, you got to do this book. And I'm like, we already are. It's on the schedule.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yay.
And she was like, well, I need to talk to somebody about this.
She's not going to want to wait till October. Holy moly.
I know.
Oh, it's so good.
I told her about a couple of podcasts that had done it. And I was like, go listen to these guys because it's going to be a while for us. But Rebecca, such a, I don't know, atmospheric, like, it's kind of like Jane Eyre. You can't quite figure out what's going on because you think one thing, you know, this lady is in the mansion with her new husband, but like everybody in the house talks about the first wife as like, which is Rebecca, right? Rebecca's the first wife.
Yes.
And I don't even know if we find out the name of the new wife, do we?
Man, off the top of my head, I'm suddenly forgetting.
Seems like they don't say it, but we'll get
I think that you're probably right. Do they just call her by her last name? They probably do. They probably just call her Mrs.
Yes, Mrs.
I'm forgetting like everything.
Okay, hold on, Rebecca. They call her, let's see what it says. Mrs. Mander, is it Man? No, it's Manderley is the mansion. The Amazon like blurb was like, Yeah, it's unnamed. The novel depicts an unnamed young woman who impetuously marries a wealthy widower. So he's this rich guy in a mansion, and everybody just acts so weird about his first wife, Rebecca. And she feels like almost like, I can't measure up. This woman was wonderful. Well, that's not how it ends up being, right? She's just,
right.
Anyways, we learn about her, and it's very interesting and very creepy. So
creepy, like in a just thrilling, satisfying way.
Yeah, not creepy as in scary. Just like,
and it is a little bit scary. It's a little bit scary. It is. And let's see, was it Netflix that did
yes
a movie version of it a few
recently.
Years ago? And everybody's gonna, you know, any book turned into a movie, there's gonna be people who hate it or love it. I actually really liked it. I thought they did a really good job. And it was Armie Hammer is the man. Lily James is the main girl. I thought they were fantastic. Anyway.
Yeah. And I watched it with my husband and he really liked it. So, I mean, he'd never read the book, but he enjoyed the movie and I loved it too. So I think that'd be fun to watch a few versions after we read it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, and in fact, I think like all of these books, not the Moffats, I don't know about The Old Man and the Sea, but just about all these books have been turned into movies. And there's a pretty good version of all of them. The next one is one of my, I think I say this about all the books. It's one of my favorites, but it's, I want to say it's like one of my favorites to read aloud. This is one. So we're doing a couple that I've read several times to my kids. The Moffats I've read several times because they love it. And I love to read it to them. It's a great read aloud book for your kids. But then the one for November is The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. I've read it several times and it's one that my kids, they'll just go and get it and be like, Mom, it's time to read this again. Cause they love it and I love it. And it, in fact, what they usually want to do is we'll read it and then watch all the movies, which the movies definitely diverge from the book quite a bit, but we love it. We don't care. It's pretty great. The book is excellent. So obviously it is this entire made-up world by Tolkien. And we've talked before about how C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien were good friends. And some of the books that they wrote were, in a lot of ways, their way of dealing with all the things that they saw in war, in World War I. They were both in the trenches. So there is a lot of war and a lot of kind of violence in both The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. But they also, like, so Tolkien makes this incredible world, Middle Earth. He makes up an entire language. He made up Elvish, like, to where people could actually learn it and speak it. And some people do. And that's weird, but like also cool, whatever. It's fine. He made up these creatures, the hobbits, who are like 3 feet tall and they have very hairy feet and they don't wear shoes and they live in like holes in the ground and they live in a place called the Shire. And so it focuses, and they're people who don't like adventure. They like a simple life. They like to garden and they like food so much. Their larder is always full. They like to have guests. They eat like 7 meals a day. But it centers around this one hobbit named Bilbo Baggins who goes on an adventure. In this case, he's helping the dwarves to get their mountain back and get their gold from the dragon Smaug. Later on, there's some other hobbits, his nephew Frodo, who they go and they save Middle Earth. But anyway, it's great. It's so great.
I'm excited about that one because a lot of times I think there's references to The Hobbit and like when you haven't read it or you don't know the story, it just kind of goes over your head. And
yeah,
I'm excited. I've never read that one either.
It's so good. And, you know, I think that that's the beauty of classics in general. And really, like a lot of the books that we're reading this year, there are a lot of references to them frequently in pop culture, in like everything.
This one might be one I can get my husband to read. And I know, I mean, my son's read it. He's like reading voraciously right now. And Tolkien is some of the stuff he's reading. So anyways, I'm excited. And he may listen to us. I don't know what to do to get that boy to listen to us, but
we're doing The Hobbit. You should listen.
Well, maybe we'll make him be on it once or something with it. I don't know. I'll be like, be on my podcast. Then will you listen to it?
Have him become a Tolkien expert. Like as he's reading voraciously, be like, hey, we want you to be on our podcast when we talk about The Hobbit.
I will try.
That would be so fun. It really would.
our December book. Now, Christmas classics are hard to come by. We've only thought of maybe a handful.
Yeah.
Maybe. Probably not.
And some
even
of them, it's a little bit of a stretch because, like, well, they talk about Christmas in it. Like, Christmas happens during the book. So I guess that could be a Christmas book.
But this one, we decided that we wanted to do a Dickens every year. So this year in December, we're going to do A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Again, if you don't know the story of A Christmas Carol, you are living under a rock or something. You know, it's the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, who is visited by the ghost of past, the ghost of present, and the ghost of future. Is that what you call them?
Well, ghost of Christmas past.
Ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas future. Funny story. So someday I would like to tell about this little project that we do for our church that I came up with a couple of years ago. It's kind of a spin on the 12 Days of Christmas. With the 12 Days of Christmas, you would normally just drop off an anonymous gift and run. And we've decided that we had some people, older people in our ward that were like isolated. And so we wanted to give them like a Christmas with family or whatever, friends around. So anyways, every night for 12 nights, a different family goes and visits the same people. So they get 12 visits in a row. They get a gift. They get a visit. Anyways, so we were visiting the first night this time. And I said, to this man that we were visiting, I said, okay, so there's going to be a visitor every night for 12 nights. And my husband goes, and none of them will be ghosts.
Yes. You like set that up perfectly and he picked up what you were putting down. Like, I love it. That's.
I mean, the funny thing is, the guy is, he can't see. He's blind. Oh. And so it was just funny because David was like, and none of them, because he wouldn't know if they were ghosts.
That's true. That's true. They very well could be. I think that is such an incredible service. Like,
when we would do the 12 Days of Christmas, it was so much work. And my husband would be like, this is so much work. We come up with a gift every night for 12 nights. We'd drop them off. We'd run. And just even the delivery, I'd do all the work of coming up with the gifts, wrapping them.
Yeah.
But just delivering them every night for 12 nights was so much work. Yeah. And so I had this idea and then I was like, oh no, it's too much work. That's too much work. I can't handle it. And then, right before Christmas, this was 2 years ago, all of a sudden in my mind, it popped into my mind how to make it super easy. And I was like, done. We're doing this. And it has been, this is the third year we've done it. It's been a huge success. If anybody ever wants to know how to do it, let me know, because I just love for other people to try to do it.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I need to remember it for next year because you get the whole ward involved, right?
Yeah, we ask for volunteers. So
this year, we
have 24 families involved. Yeah.
And so you guys all go visit somebody different each. No, because you only got like three people that you're doing.
Yeah, so this year we have four people we're visiting. Two people we're actually visiting, like in their house. Mm-hmm. And then the other two people are anonymous drop-offs for other reasons. So we just have, I like send out a Google sheet and each family signs up for one night. That's all it is one night. You go visit, drop off a gift, and you're done. The families have just, like, one lady hadn't been able to come to church for a long time. And we did her the first year and she passed away like just several months after. And she had said during Christmas, she said, this is the best Christmas I've ever had.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is so awesome. Do you try to say, okay, if you're going to go on Christmas Eve, like make it a little extra special, or?
We do it. So normally 12 Days of Christmas would end on either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but we actually just push it so that we end on like the Thursday before Christmas. So because on the last night, we all go caroling. So everybody gets together and goes to each of the families and carols. It's like, it wasn't me. I mean, it was like download from heaven. Like, you needed.
Well, yes, it was, but you were an incredible vessel for it.
Thanks.
So amazing.
But anyway, so like this Thursday night, we will all go caroling, and we try to do it. I try to do it, arrange it, so we end around the 21st because people will be leaving town. And
that's true. Yeah. No, that's a good idea. Make sure everybody's still there. That's so cool.
Super fun. And like so rewarding. I wasn't at church today, but I heard people talking about somebody told me they heard the families telling people, thank you for visiting me this week. We had so much fun. We enjoyed seeing you. And the man that is blind, he's I've talked about him before. He plays the organ at church and he really doesn't know people because he can't see. You know, he comes in, he plays the organ, he leaves. This has been really good for people in the ward to get to know him. And
And for him to, I mean, I'm sure that his other senses are very acute. And so even getting to know people's voices and mannerisms that way, that's probably very helpful to him. So in a position where I can be like, hey, guys, this is what we're going to do. We should do it in our ward. Our ward could so use that.
The first year I did it, I just emailed a bunch of families in the ward and said, hey, I'm trying to put together this project. Would you guys be interested in helping? It would be super easy. It's just one night of visits, you know. And then the next year, the Relief Society asked me to organize it through the ward.
Okay. Anyways. So, and did you contact the couples, or not the couples, but the people that you were going to visit? Did you contact them to be like, hey, this is what we're doing? No. You're just like, this is what we're doing.
The first night I came, like, and I just said, this is what's happening. And then I said, if you don't want people to come in, just don't invite them in. They're going to knock on your door. Perfect. They have a gift. If you're busy or something, just don't invite them in. But we'd like to visit with you. And so if you can, and then we'll just pass along information like so-and-so wants to be called before you come. So they have an idea of when you're coming or whatever. And so we just kind of tell people that, or this family doesn't care when you come, just drop by their home all day. Anyway, so we're right in the middle of that, but back to A Christmas Carol.
Sorry. Hey, go ahead.
I'm excited. This will be a good one.
It's so good. And it's actually, it's one of those that like, I always, when I was little, I think we had a copy of it in our house and I'd be like, I really want to read this, but it's so big. And now I've read it many times. It is not a long book. It's really not. So I don't know what, maybe there were like other books in there with it or something, but yeah, it's actually not that long and very readable.
And hopefully easier than A Tale of Two Cities.
Oh, immensely. Again, so this is one that I have also read aloud to my kids several times, and it's extremely comprehensible.
I found a podcast last year by the Merry Beggars that does like a dramatization of
Christmas Carol. Cool.
So that'd be cool too. If you didn't want to read it, you could just listen to like, or watch a movie, I guess, but that'd be fun. I tried listening to it and I got bored. Okay. Maybe reading it will be better.
I think this is one that just reading it to yourself or reading it aloud to your family, it's a great way to do it too. So
cool. Well, that's it. 11 books.
Yeah.
2024. And it worked out so well with like, I believe we only have that one month where Jane Eyre starts other in April. Otherwise, it's just month by month. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that worked out, but it did.
Well, like I said, I'm really excited. These are all just wonderful books. If you haven't read them before, this coming year is a good time to do it. If you have read them before, read them again and then listen to our podcast.
Yeah. So, and tell people about us.
Yes. Yes.
If you want to share us, tell people about us.
Yeah. And also like go look at our Facebook and Instagram pages and just share from that too. Put it on your stories, whatever. That would be great.
So
what have you been reading this week?
Yes, The Star That Always Stays by Anna Rose Johnson. I haven't figured out what time. Oh, here we go. It says Beaver Island, November 1910. I'm like listening to it and I'm like, what time period is this?
Okay.
I'm so confused. But it's this girl. There's four kids. Her dad left them and her mom marries this like new guy. And nobody's happy about it. And he has kids too. And so now they're a blended family. But I mean, think about that, 1910.
Yeah.
Like different. And she, I believe she has Indian ancestry. And so she's like embarrassed by that. She wants to go to high school and they decide that she can go to high school, but she's embarrassed by her heritage. Like her grandmother and her great grandma are both named Mary. And so she calls them the Marys. So her mother marries this guy and they call him Mr. Ward. It's really good. I'm really liking it.
Cool.
And I got like that Indian heritage piece. She loves school. She talks about classics all the time. I really like that part of it. She talks about Anne of Green Gables. Let's see. It says it's perfect for Anne of Green Gables fans. It's about an introspective and brilliant Native American heroine And she addresses assimilation, racism, and divorce, as well as every girl problems like first crushes, making friends, and the joys and pains of a blended family. Often funny, often heartbreaking. I saw this Everyday Reading recommended it for teenagers. And so that's where I saw it. And I wanted to read it to see if I should buy it for my niece.
And what did you decide?
I think I might. I think she would like it. So.
Awesome.
Anyways, really good. What are you reading?
I'm not done with Killing the Rising Sun. So I am reading that, but I'm trying to read it aloud to Ken, like as we drive around or whatever. So that one's going to take a while. So I am reading. I am reading, just nothing new. So instead, I'm going to share a book that I just recently read with my kids that I haven't shared about yet. So this one is called Leonardo da Vinci, Diane Stanley. And it's really great. Like, she draws from a range of sources, including her subject's extensive notebooks. So, which now we know are owned by Bill Gates. She describes Leonardo da Vinci's astoundingly far-reaching and varied achievements. And yeah, it's really great because a lot of times we think of da Vinci, Mona Lisa, or like his notebooks, his science drawings and things like that. But, you know, she starts from when he was little and how he was actually like an illegitimate son and all these things that happened in his life that were maybe not great, but he didn't let it hold him back. He did a lot of really amazing things. And that doesn't mean that he was perfect by any means. I think it's a great book, especially for kids. You know, you could definitely dive a lot deeper into the life of Leonardo da Vinci, but this one is really wonderful. It took us several days to read it, but it is like, there's beautiful illustrations in it as well. So that actually kind of remind you of da Vinci's style of painting. It was really good.
And it was like a chapter book with illustrations.
So it's kind of interesting because it's not a chapter book and yet it kind of is, because like each page is like top to bottom text. And it's like each page is a different section. What could be considered a picture book, not quite a chapter book, but it is quite long.
So how did Bill Gates get his notebooks?
Okay. That is such a good question. And like, why would they be sold? Like, that's just weird to me.
The things you learn, right?
Yeah.
In a day.
Yeah.
Presley has been like, oh my gosh. Okay. So we're going to jump in next week with The Moffats by Eleanor Estes. I'm excited. I just can find it. Or buy it again. Or
buy it again.
Mm. I don't know. Maybe I'll buy it for the Kindle so it'll be automatic. I don't know. But we're so happy you joined us for this episode. We hope you will join us next week as we discuss The Moffats by Eleanor Estes. If you have suggestions for books we should read and discuss, please email us at thebestbookspodcast@gmail.com. We would love it if you would leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and share our podcast with your friends. We want to inspire and encourage as many people as we can to read out of the best books.
As Thoreau says, read the best books first, or you may not have a chance to read them at all. See you next week.